Hey everyone, it's Fitz, and welcome to another edition of Fighting Ever Fighting. I appreciate Brian Hanley and Cole Carmody handling the last two episodes as I snuck off to Colorado for some fun and rest and seeing friends. Back to business here with Taylor Bratt. I got to confess, though, we recorded this before I left too, so it was in the hopper because I was getting back the day before this would debut. Look, I don't need to introduce the guy that much. Everyone knows Taylor Bratt. He has been associated with Kansas State football for a very long time. And on the recruiting front, he's become an icon in many ways. Purple shoes, purple cars. He is Mr. Purple and a symbol of the passion of Kansas State. This one's going to cover some ground. We're going to talk about football, and we're going to talk about his dad's battle with cancer a little bit too, because Taylor reached out when all that was starting and going and talked to me about it. This is a good dude, man. He's so good. And watching him age has been really entertaining because he has calmed down, believe it or not, but he is very passionate. And now he's got a younger staff, a lot of kids running around the building along with his kids. Wonderful wife, Leah. I didn't share this with him, but I think the key to a successful marriage is finding an amazing woman with horrible taste in men. And Taylor and I both share that. Let's get to it. You don't want to hear me ramble. Let's bring in Taylor Bratt from the K-State football offices, Fidere Complex, and with his fancy new title and fancy new boss named Colin Klein. It's good times to be in the Fidere Complex. Now, there he is with an elevated camera. So he looks like even the more important Taylor Bratt from the Veneer Football Complex. Hello, boss. How you doing, man?
Well, you know, the elevated camera is to elite, to drop off the double chin and to elite some of the dad bod. So that's why I went higher. You know, not it has nothing to do with brain cells or my activity of my smartness. So, yeah, that's definitely not that.
I relate to all of that. Dude, you have been here. Is this your 18th year?
This would be 21 seasons up and coming. My first season was with Coach Prince's first year in 06, where there's only three student coaches. One who's now been with James Franklin at every stop that he's been with and said Virginia Tech was champions, a guy from Hayes, Kevin Throwkill. Another one was a D coordinator at Derby, Mitch Pontius. Those are the only three student coaches that came in with Prince's first year. And our GAs were Scott Frost and Ricky Ronan. So that's, yeah.
Hey, we're not going to talk about Ron Prince because I don't want to throw things, but the Duke could hire.
That for sure was amazing. The staff members from Raheem to James, all those guys. I mean, you talk about dudes. Awesome.
Three head coaches currently, and of course, Raheem Morris in the NFL. So amazing. There might be more. I don't know. They're still, most of those coaches are still in the profession. It's incredible. So you got that with Colin Klein. You two were recruited by Ron Prince.
Yep. So I remember picking up Colin in a 12-passenger K-State bus that we used to pick up, van that we'd had to pick up at the motor pool. So we picked up the motor pool cars, picked him up. I remember picking up Colin at the Holiday Inn Express right off of Anderson Avenue. That was the only hotel before there was the parking garage, all that stuff.
Yeah, that's incredible. That is a long time ago. Talk about this evolution, though. I mean, you go from student assistant to now, what's your fancy new title? Because it's a great title. They did not mess around. Director of Player Personnel and High School Relations, and I'm going to add General Badass. That should be, tell Colin, I think you should have that in your title.
Hey, I like that title the best, maybe. No, you know, it's crazy. Probably the evolution of titles are just like the evolution of football where it is now compared to when we started. I remember there was a restriction on how many coaches you can have, how many coaches spend the road. Shoot, when we first started there, you couldn't even text guys. You know, it was VHSs, DVDs, and now every kid has access to the huddle. You couldn't retweet, couldn't like a tweet, and now you can basically do whatever. The transition of titles has been whatever. Hold on. I'm just very proud to get to represent the school that I love so much. They gave me a degree, gave my wife her degree. and represents the state that I'm from, and I'm so proud of. I had a great, I think it was a great grandpa went here, graduated in 1912. So this is definitely home. Being a fifth year Kansas kid, there's nothing better, you know, and I think some of that rubbed off at going to junior college and being around guys that were from out of state that looked at it like, man, this place here, you know, what's this place about, you know, and just being told that all the time makes you want to represent it more, right?
Yeah.
It makes you care about it. So, yeah, it's been an unbelievable ride. Very blessed, beyond lucky, and crossing fingers and toes and just enjoying the ride.
So your fourth head coach, you've run the cycle now.
Hard to get rid of the village idiot. That's what I say.
Look, yeah, I know. I mean, if you make them laugh, then they want to keep you around. That's kind of been my motto the whole time. But going back to picking up Colin Klein as a recruit, and now he's your boss. Does that kind of blow your mind?
Yes, it's been so sweet because you know, I was the guy on the flight that went down and picked him up on the private plane and flew back. And man, this has changed a little bit from the first time I picked you up as a recruit. And I was joking to everybody. I said, I don't know what I did wrong, and he did really well besides being an unbelievable player in person. But you know, I'm still doing the same basic role that I have been doing, and you know, he's the guy, and it's cool getting to introduce him. I mean, that's probably the coolest part, is getting to tell that story of how it started and where it's at, and watching his career grow. You know, as much as I love Keith State, I love Colin, and my goal is to see him succeed. If he succeeds, that means the Cats succeed, and that's a big motivation with it all.
I have started to notice a lot of Bill Snyder in there. He's his own guy. Don't get me wrong, but. There's some Bill Snyder in there, and there's probably some Kleiman and Elko. I don't know, but what do you see? Do you see any of those similarities?
You know, I do. I see a lot of every part of it.
Yep.
I think leaving, he left at the right time for the right place and to work for the right guy. Got to go down to Texas, be in the SEC, get to bring some of that model back. Also being under Kleiman, who's different than Bill, and then some of the stuff Coach Snyder did carrying along, and some of the stuff Coach Kleiman. I think it's a good mixture, and also what he wants to do and how he sees the program going. It's been an awesome transition, you know, and oftentimes I get put in the spot of, oh, what's it like? How's it going? You know, and it's no shots ever at Kleiman or anything. I mean, he did an unbelievable job with what he had in front of him, and he succeeded, and I think it meant a lot to give it to Colin from Coach Kleiman. I think that mattered. And I think it's great that Coach Snyder gets to see Colin take over. You know, I mean, how perfect his world is. That doesn't happen anywhere else. I've told that to many people. Like, the transitions from three great head coaches, I don't think it happens anywhere else besides K-State, where it all works out and they're all great to each other. They're great to the brand. If you know how it gets, it can get ugly. Some of these exonings get ugly. It's hard. But all three of those have been terrific.
Anything that surprised you so far about Colin as the boss?
I mean, Colin is so the same guy, even keel. You know what you're going to get, all professional. I think it's fun watching him break loose a little bit and doing some of the donor events and some of the fun stuff. And just seeing him as a dad has been really cool. Seeing him around his kids, seeing him being a husband has been really cool. Nothing that's surprising. He's such a humble dude and cares about it. And it matters to me. And, you know, I often speak about, when you talk about PC family, well, there's no one else that has that family more than him. His wife played basketball here. His kids are going to walk out of that tunnel and see his dad's name and their grandpa's name on the ring of honor.
That's crazy.
I mean, that's incredible. I mean, that is awesome.
That's crazy. He's good at making kids, too.
Yeah. I think I've offered two of them already.
But y'all, the evolution of your job, take me through, you know, all the different things you've done through the years for Kansas State football.
Well, I worked a lot with special teams when I first got here, but I was always with recruiting. No matter what, recruiting was always somewhere in my title, and always being part of it, just probably because my personality, relatability. I have somebody, man, recruiting, man, you got to be relatable. You got to understand every person, the situation they come from, what they want. And what their goals are. And then relatability, personality, got to be outgoing and got a high energy, which I probably have enough of that to last. I don't need to drink a lot of coffee. I just go. But yeah, it's changed a lot from how we watch guys to evaluations to how we host kids on campus. I mean, all of it has changed from, even the process of rules, right? I mean, they're going to change the rules here in the next month. They change so many rules every year almost. I think for about 10 years, there wasn't a lot of change. And then the last 5 years, there's been as much change as you can imagine. And the rule that always hits me the most and probably hurts the most is that 105 rule. Because you miss out, you take your bin sentence, you take your, you know, some of those guys in the past that were unbelievable walk-ons, you know, because now that roster limit's gone. You lost a total of, we lost 40 spots. And that was probably the hardest rule because some of those kids were the purest ones to it. They just wanted to wear the power cut. They wanted to run out of it. Yeah. They were going to go on the scout team for 4 years straight just to play their senior year. I mean, I think about guys like Weston Heaver, Jared Loomis, Colin Sexton. I mean, there's been so many guys that came from the program. Do those guys even have a spot now in the program? You know, and that's probably the biggest rule change. But everything you can imagine changing has changed. Like I said, I remember VHS, it's the DVDs. Now you have online links, right? Questionnaires, your recruiting boards. You used to have boards all over the walls with all their names. Now you have it all on a computer. You know, so everybody has multiple screens now and all that. But I think the kids haven't changed, you know, just the process have. And, you know, like jobs, right? Everything is constantly in a change and continue to change. Now you got to keep up with the change.
Oh, believe me, I know. what's your feelings on this possible five seasons over 5 years?
You know, just another change. We'll have to brace. I don't have really any feelings if it'll be good or bad. I think it could be very good for us. I don't know yet. And then some of those rules that can put in place and change. I'm excited to see what happens next. I'm excited if that rule goes through. Again, there'll be something new. It'll be another obstacle to go, but at least we kind of have a direction that can help us and keep guys on longevity. The hard part probably is how many guys are staying at one place for 5 years. You know, back in the day, that would be a, you know, you probably hoped for that rule by about 5 years ago before you could, you know, and you probably need to put a minimization on transferring. You know, like you can't do it one, two, or three times. I mean, it gets kind of crazy. You know, when you meet the NFL scouts and you're asking about the guy who transferred from here, or they're asking about how he transferred from there. I mean, it could go on and on. I was so basically the hardest part for me in the portal was someday you're going to be a dad, right? You're going to take your kid out to the game. And what game are you going to? And where do you take your kid you work? You know, is it Miami, Ohio to K-State to Iowa State to Tulsa? Like, where's home? Like, where do you call home? And so the 5 for 5 would definitely make it to where you probably need to put some restrictions on transfer.
Yeah, plenty of rule changes coming if we never get some help from the people in Washington, D.C., which is a lot to ask. But now with the transfer portal and NIL, how's that impacted your recruiting? Because it's different conversations.
Yeah, the conversations are different. Obviously, we have different guys for that roles. The GM now, you know, it's his job to, and sometimes the money's not right, you're not going to get the kid. It's not the kid's fault either. I mean, think about guys taking jobs in the career field. I mean, a lot of people are leaving to go get higher paid jobs. I mean, that's kind of how it goes. I'm going to go to where, but some guys are looking for the best fit too. You know, where do I fit best? What culture is my culture? Where am I going to play early? I mean, there's so many parts that play into it that it's not always about money, but sometimes it can. And so that's just an extra part of the recruiting phase. And, you know, if that's your first conversation, it's probably not the right guy. And I know everybody says that, but it's got to be true. Just because that's not the guy that's going to fit here.
Right. Yeah. I'm of the belief for most of the players that are just going to pick the school that gives them the most money. That's not a dude that's going to work for K-State. You've got to come in and buy in and do things the K-State way.
Yeah. And don't change what K-State is. I mean, I love the fact that you got kids that want to be here, that care about it, that matter from the real lay on the line every day. I mean, that's what K-State was built on. I don't think you got to change all of it. You can keep that and still build on top of it. But there's nothing wrong with having that as your blueprint. You know, and that's, you've had a lot of success with guys like that.
Is it tough being Taylor Brett? And what I mean by that is you now have a reputation. You now have this aura image. And brother, you gotta be on the show. You're like, when you go speak or something, people are expecting Taylor Brett.
Oh yeah, you gotta be dialed in. No, I'm very lucky. Again, it's a blessing. I feel worse for my wife, probably anybody else. She's going to be married to Taylor Brack. I'm definitely not. It's not for my good looks. So I don't know what that's all about, but I enjoy it. I really do. I truly enjoy it. It's all been a blessing. I get to represent my last name in my state. So I'll say that. So I can't say anymore because I get to represent a guy who coached the right way, did it the right way for 42 years at one university at Butler, which is my dad. So to kind of carry on that and just do as much as I can for the kids in the state and for the kids at Kansas State.
Let's talk about your dad. It's been 2 years.
It's been 2 years. Yep. I appreciate your shout out you gave him, man. That was awesome.
Well, I mean, I know what he went through. I haven't been that advanced yet, but brother, this is so hard. It's just, and it was sudden for him. It was just, it came on and it didn't take long.
It was nothing I want anybody else to experience. I'm glad I was obviously older. I feel bad for my kids. We didn't get to know him as a coach or as a dad. We called him G-Dog. It was a normal grandpa. So, no, but I'm just so appreciative to have so many brothers because all the kids he coached were his kids. You know, and I shared them. As we said, we shared dad. Everybody, you know, was those were all his kids and his brothers. So we had the funeral. It was more aimed towards his players that needed closure almost more than us, you know, because of the relationships and the lives he saved and the guys. I mean, a lot of those guys that are going JUCO for an opportunity or looking to get out of something, you know, and that was their escape. So, no, but tremendous man, somebody I was able to look up towards and someone I can't ever hang my head because I know if he would keep me on my butt so quick that I wouldn't have an opportunity to ever hang it. So, you know, I always got to keep my head up on control.
What's it like growing up with a defensive coordinator as a dad? It's gotta be a little challenging.
It was a pretty strict house. I mean, I definitely, as I tell everybody, I get paid. We got me in trouble every day, which is talking. So I definitely did too much of that and all the time off. And, but yeah, having a mom as a school teacher, my mom raised this as my dad would always say, cause he was always gone, but no, it was awesome. So I think it's really cool being around other coaches' kids because you get a chance to relate to them. You know, when you talk to coaches' kids, coaching kids kind of got your own fraternity. Now, I've been lucky. I had to do a lot of moving. But these guys would move. The people don't get to interact with the former players and all that kind of stuff. You got to take care of coaches' kids because it's a hard profession. I mean, you see how it is, and it's only getting harder because more people have access to say things and do things. And, you know, they just want to win, too. I think no one takes a job to lose. And so you just try to find a way and, you know, take care of each other. And have somebody for them to lean on.
Did you say your dad was at Butler for 42 years?
42 years.
Why? Why did he never move on to somewhere else? What was it about El Dorado and Butler Community College?
Because this is what he always told me. He never left because he was at Wichita State for 2 years. The years that my mom got pregnant with me. So they win the national title in 1981. He goes to Wichita State. Now, the plane crash happened in 75. Everybody always thinks, oh, the plane crash in Wichita State. I'm like, no. Which I'll say in 87. But so my mom gets pregnant. They're pregnant with me. They get fired. They go, I think they went 8-3 last year. They get fired by who was the AD at KU that kind of jacked everything up. Oh, gosh.
Luke Perkins.
Yep. Fired all of them at Wichita State. So that my dad just went to Dr. Butler and never done. So he was under Willie Jeffries at Wichita State and beat KU and K-State. My dad coached the first round draft pick, he jumpy gathers, all that kind of stuff.
I didn't plan on asking you this, but you're the perfect person to ask it. I contend that K-State football might have never taken off if Wichita State was still taking the B.J. Finneys and the Jonathan Trumans and all those kids that ended up at K-State because Wichita State wasn't an option.
Yeah, I told everybody it, so I hope they don't start it back up because it would take away some here. I mean, there's just not enough people in the state to share. It's not. It's like junior college football. It's getting harder and harder because other places are coming down. Back in the day, South Dakota and you and I were down here recruiting those kids. They were going to PICO to get more exposure, you know, or they were walking on it and stuff, you know. So, and I'm glad Wichita State doesn't start their football program. They would. B.J. Finneys would be gone.
Yeah, it's incredible when you stop and think about all the guys from the Wichita area that might have come as a walk-on, like those guys I mentioned, probably would have scholarship offers.
Yeah, Jonathan Truman. All those kind of guys. I mean, it's kind of wild to really think about.
What are some of the great lessons you learned from your pops?
I think the number one is loyalty and accountability. Always be on time. Always be where you say you're going to be. Be true to who you are. Loyalty is the number one thing to me ever. I mean, that says everything about who you are and what you are.
Yeah. He was remarkable. He really was. And I'm sorry for your loss. It still bothers me. It, you know, when you're in this club, which is not a fun club to be in, but it's a kind of a club we all relate to each other. And that one sucked for me personally, brother. It did. It did. Let's not cry. We're not going to cry. That's not who we are.
I told you, if I start crying, he'd come down here and he'd be like, what are you doing? Let's go, man. Talk about the cats. What are you even doing right now? I already know what you're saying right now. Shut up about me. Let's go, man. We have ball to talk. Let's go. Yep. Let's get to talking.
Let's talk about your purple collection, shoes. What old crap you got, man? And again, that's got to be okay. I'm Taylor Brett. I got to have that. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I try to hide from the stores. Right? I don't let my wife quit sending me stuff that were purple a while back. Like, I'm not sending you any texts in the mouth about seeing anything. I don't know. It's got to be over 80 pairs of shoes, the Jeep, moped. Now my mom has a lavender minivan riding around Wichita. So purple smoker, wedding ring. You name it. If I don't have it, I'm looking for it. So I just think it's such a cool thing to be a part of. And you get to represent it every day. Like, the coolest thing is walking out of the house wearing purple shoes. I don't care if I'm mowing the lawn, I'm going to the pool, I got purple Crocs on, or I'm mowing in purple shoes. Like, it's just a way to market the brand all the time. Every time you're out, you have a chance to expose what K-State is and who they are. Whether it's a football player or getting another kid to come to school here. I mean, the whole ideal is selling the universe.
You know, my dad was a football coach, high school football coach. When he had a family, he got out to do insurance, make a real living. But it's interesting because his high school in Casey, Illinois was purple. Then he went to Evansville, which purple. Then he went to Korea and came back and went to Northwestern.
Purple.
And so when they first built the building that was before this one, they had the pavers out there, right? You know, you could buy the pavers. So we bought Pat Fitzgerald a paver and it said purple all my life. That's the same thing for you, man.
Butler purple, you can't say purple.
You better like purple.
You better like it. Ooh. The kids don't have options on their favorite colors at home. So all three of them would say purple. So I wouldn't even tell them they have an option. They would already say purple, purple, purple.
What are you driving now? Is it purple?
Oh yeah, the Jeep's purple.
Oh yeah, that's right. It's a Jeep.
Yeah, Jeep's purple. Now there's more driving around town. So if you see purple Jeeps, they're not all mine. So there's a couple of them driving around town. So
I used to have company logos on my Durangos or minivans. Always great. No kids, I'm driving a minivan. But you kind of have to behave. I'm an angry driver, Taylor Brett, and I think you might be a little emotional too when someone's like not going at the green light.
Yeah, you gotta be. You're representing. Remember, like we said, you're representing.
Gotta be careful.
Yeah, and smart.
I could have learned to behave better. I didn't. I just took the logos off.
Well, when I go in and get another car, maybe I just won't get a purple one. I don't know. I think I'm on good behavior, so I can still get purple ones out there.
Okay, let's talk about this Jordan Peterson thing. I feel like this is an episode of Step Brothers.
It's pretty close to it.
Yeah. The picture of you guys, that was the Taco Lucha kitchen, right? Was it?
Oh, the kitchen. No, that was if the kitchen with the fire. That was at Wyandotte.
Oh, it was.
Wyandotte.
Mike let you back there.
Yeah, let's just go back there and do something else. Because you think they'll let us back there? I said, oh, yeah, they'll let us back. So, yep, they let us back there. We they sauteed us. Thank goodness they did it and just handed it to us. I mean, that's been wild.
Yeah, I would trust you with a burger or a taco, but not with what Wyandotte cooks. No.
No. Don't belong in that kitchen.
I love that place. What is it about him? He's got that same kind of energy that you do. But you guys hit it off. What is it? Why? Why did it happen?
I think because it matters. You know, calling success matters. In case it's success matters to him. surround yourself with people that care about you, care about each other. And he's an awesome, fun dude to be around. But he's very professional. We very dialed in. That's where I was at. I was actually at the V staff meeting when I came down here talking about the kids coming to campus this weekend. So he's very locked into the details. But then he's gonna have a good time. Like, he's gonna have fun with stuff. Even if it gets hard or difficult, he's always gonna have fun with it. And it's a fun staff, young staff. Everybody's hammering away, everybody's fired up, and everybody's excited for the opportunity we have ahead of us.
I've noticed the energy level is higher than it's ever been. And it's probably because of a bunch of young guys, but I think everyone shares a sense of, I don't want to fail Colin.
100%.
And this is so important to the school and to him, but everyone loves Colin for a good reason. They don't come any better as coaches or human beings. But there's something kind of, I don't want to get corny, but something special is happening with this coaching staff. And I imagine you feel it too.
Yeah, I do. I'm excited. Again, I think it's almost like the right time, the right opportunity, the right guy. It really feels like everything's lined up. Obviously, we're undefeated right now. So we're really on cloud nine. But I feel like the buyer, like you said, no one wants to let Colin down. Everybody knows this is where Colin wants to be. This is where he wants to see. Everybody wants to see it happen. So we're just going at it and trying to make it happen.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. It's really, really interesting to watch it take place. What did you kind of take away from Bill Snyder? I mean, that man had an operating system, and I don't mean just like a way to do business. I think he was a robot at times.
Perfectionist. I mean, he was perfect. Things were perfect, precise, details. I mean, everything was down to the right detail. I mean, that's definitely what I take away from Coach Snyder. And again, I think that's the accountability. We always feel we were on double, triple cap time. And we were everything 15 minutes or not 5 minutes, but 15. And that was definitely the biggest takeaway is, we're going to make this. We're going to go perfect. I want all the details. I want to know everything. And that's really what it was. It was a detail-oriented deal.
I would never survive with cat time. I can't get there on time. That's the way I've been my whole life. Then you transition to Chris Kleiman. Buddy, I don't think we talk enough about what Chris did.
I would agree. You talk about a man who cared about me, my family, and Kansas State, and probably had a hardest job because he had to show, somebody could win here besides Coach Snyder. And he did it. And as a person and with somebody like giving you the keys to help, like he let me be me. He wanted my personality to be seen. He let a lot of people out to be seen by everybody. As he always said, it was never his program, it was our program. Just learning how to take responsibility was big with him, and just wanted to make him proud as well. He's terrific and all the things he was doing in the community and all the things he was doing with Make-A-Wish Kid. I got my G-man who was our Make-A-Wish Kid, their Coach Kleiman. And passed away. I mean, there were just some cool things we were getting to do that were opening our eyes.
And what he did at the end, not many coaches do that.
Nope, 100%.
And he left a lot of money on the table and walked away, not just for his health and mental stability, because the game changed so much. But as you mentioned, it never felt like his program. It felt like he was in charge of our program. And he felt like it was the best time to move on and picked up the phone and said, Colin, you want to come back?
Yeah, I mean, that's incredible. It's never going to happen anywhere else. It's not going to happen again. Just to line up those three guys. It's an amazing story. It really is. And all three of them, amazing men, all in their own ways. And to me, that's part of why we also need that success, for fun. Because it's like, it's the perfect storm. Like, it doesn't happen.
Agreed.
And we're very lucky to have it happen and three great people to see it through. Again, I'm just lucky I've gotten to sit in this chair and watch it all, just be there and smile and enjoy it. And I'm riding this unbelievable deal out.
Well, you play a big role in recruiting. You're kind of the boss.
I'm no one's boss. I'm named my own boss.
Yeah. We had Greg Schwarzkopf on previous week to this. This staff is relentless in recruiting. I've never had anything like it. They got to be running you ragged, visitors and offers, and it's relentless.
Yeah, I love Greg's the new director of recruiting. Very organized, very on key. I mean, awesome with communication. Consistently wanting to better us. I mean, it's been awesome. He's the only guy at the other place that ever gave me any struggles. And it was cool that he wanted to be here. Like, he was like, this is the place I want to be. And that's really cool to be a part of and see that happen. Probably got tired of me teasing him enough at the other place, you know, the Smurf turkeys. But it's been great getting more people and more help. I mean, we were understaffed, and now we're catching up, getting stuff off my hands so I'm not so overwhelmed. But the whole thing, and then the tanks, the recruiting, Zach Cox, Preston Ellis, AD, and then with our boss, Trey, it's been awesome. And Trey learning how college football really works and how it all kind of flows, you know, and having that NFL mindset and how sharp he is, too. It's been a great deal, like, with our staff. And then you got Maddie and Kelsey, who do a humbling job with the on-campus stuff. We will have 15 kids every weekend from here on out. Starting today, Thursday, 5/28.
Yeah, we did this one a little bit advanced before my vacay. But I got to tell you, brother, probably the energy on those recruiting weekends is much different.
Yeah, no doubt. You're dialed in. You got to, again, it's about relatability, trying to make a relationship with these guys in a fast time. I mean, they only have them on campus from Thursday to Sunday. Thursday, I mean, like tonight when they land. I mean, not doing much till Sunday. They leave around noon-ish. So you're trying to maximize everything you can from showing them what Manhattan is, showing them what Penn State football is about, history, culture, everything in between.
I imagine this is true at most places in some ways, but for probably the perception versus reality for Kansas State, getting them here to see it, to feel it, to be around the people has to be enormous.
Yeah, I mean, that's our best sell. Yeah. It's the town, it's the community, it's the college. And we saw it every game. You know, all the student section, maybe the best student section in the Big 12, the atmosphere on game day. We doubled the town. There would be purple everywhere. I mean, they're not walking anywhere that it's not. There's safety, our safety is, you know, community support. I mean, there's so many things to sell here, but they got to get here to see it.
Yeah. Well, brother, I appreciate you taking time. I know you're busier than heck right now. It hasn't stopped. Since the end of the season, it's crazy.
Yeah, it never does. Never does.
But I need you to make me a promise. I'm in my 60s and I still make fart jokes. So I need you to follow that. You're going to age into this job like you're not going anywhere, man. You got to be committed to the inappropriate humor at all ages.
At all ages and all time. I like that. Just normally not on a mic.
Thank you, brother.
Always. No, thank you for having me. I really appreciate you and what you do and how you voice the school, athletics. It's been cool and being around here and getting to see you do what you do. You do an unbelievable job. So it means a lot to you to represent the same thing I do. Whether we're not paid by the same people, but we care about the same thing. Yep. And sometimes the stories are hard and sometimes, you know, it's a real part of the world. So I appreciate you.
Thank you, brother. That was one of the easiest interviews I've ever done. I could have gone on another half hour. In hindsight, you know, the Life of Fitz podcast, which this replaced, I probably should have had Taylor on. It would have been an easy episode because we went almost an hour on that thing. But that was really good. Taylor's a special guy. I'm so glad that he's still associated with Kansas State football. And the amount of trust each coach has been putting into him has grown. And his effectiveness as a recruiter has matured with him. And he, like me, will never get old, at least in spirit. That's it for this week's edition of Fighting Ever Fighting. We might have one more football in me. I don't know. I haven't decided before we move on to some of these basketball coaches. But there's plenty to talk about when you're talking about K-State sports, and that's what this show is all about. Although we might sneak in some academic people. Who knows? Just can't be too smart because I can't keep up. Appreciate you watching, everyone. I will talk to you real soon.
This has been a GoPowerCat.com and Spirit Street production.